I would like to read in the Epistle of James, chapter 2. James, chapter 2, and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. The book of the Revelation, chapter 22. And verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now chapter 20, the Revelation, and verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. A final reading in the Gospel by John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Lord will bless what we have heard and what we have read, and trust help us further to preach the gospel from these four scriptures. I would like tonight to speak on the word whosoever. A lad was asked one time, what does whosoever mean? Or who does it mean? He says it means you. It means me, and it means everybody else. So we trust there's a word from the Lord for your soul tonight. Because we are represented by the whosoevers of the Bible. In the Epistle of James, chapter 2, we have read the whosoever of guilt. Whosoever shall offend in one point, he's guilty of all. In Revelation, chapter 22, we have read the whosoever of responsibility. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. It's the sinner's responsibility to take the water of life freely. We read that solemn scripture in Revelation chapter 20. The whosoever of eternal misery, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. Wouldn't it be an awful thing if one soul from Victoria Drive Gospel Hall, as you sit here tonight, could there be a greater tragedy ever take place than one from this company cast into the lake of fire forever and ever? We read in John chapter 3, verse 16, here's 25 words that have been used by God in pointing multitudes of souls to the person of His Son for salvation. The whosoever of salvation, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We trust there's one of those whosoever's in this meeting tonight. My friend, if you believe the gospel, if you are willing to accept Christ as your Savior, if you are willing to depend upon God's word alone, for that's what this salvation is. God so loved the world, not the world of rocks and trees, the world of lost sinners, the world of perishing sinners, that he gave his only begotten Son. If you or I could have ever got to heaven by some menial tasks, why was the sufferings of Calvary endured? My friend, the Savior in love to you and me, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. Christ died for the ungodly. My sins nailed Christ to the tree. His love for me, his love for you, kept him there. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, in Christ, should not perish, but possess everlasting life. Now, James chapter 2, the whosoever of guilt, whosoever offendeth in one point. You see, men know there's 10 commandments. And that is in one chapter. And they think if they could keep one of them, the rest don't matter. But when we come to the Word of God, we find the opposite. He that offends in one point, he's guilty of all. Some say, well, I haven't killed. I haven't committed adultery. Did you ever steal? Offending in one point, the whosoever of guilt. Deep down in each one of our hearts, we all know we're guilty. One sin put man out of Eden's garden. One sin will keep a soul out of God's heaven. Sometimes speaking to boys and girls in the Sunday school, we ask them, what will keep you out of heaven? Well, some say, well, because I'm not saved. Well, we must be saved in order to be in heaven. Some will say, well, because I don't believe. Well, if you don't believe God, you'll never be in heaven. That's true. But what's the root cause? My friend, it's sin. Have you ever offended in one point? You're guilty of all, God says. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The whosoever of guilt. Wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world. Death by sin, death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Some people say, well, have I got to go to hell because Adam sinned? No, friend, that's not why sinners go to hell, because Adam sinned. They go to hell because of their own sin. You think of a person in a burning building, and they're fast asleep. And the fireman awakens them. And he says, this place is on fire. There's the escape. He looked at the fireman and said, I didn't start the fire. What would you think of him? Ah, sinners on the road to hell. They like to hide behind many things. They would like to hide behind Adam's sin. Friend, what about your sin? Be sure your sin will find you out. The whosoever of guilt, whosoever offendeth in one point. Did you ever offend in one point? The Bible says you're guilty of all. Are you included in this verse, the whosoever of guilt? You read in Revelation chapter 22 of the whosoever of responsibility. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Now we know that come is one of the most easily understood words in the English language. When a father or a mother, when their little child is just toddling, and they say, come, does it know what they mean? Certainly it does. Friend, the Spirit says, come. Come to Christ. The bride says, come. Come to Christ. Let those that hear say, come. But here's the point. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Could a person get God's salvation by taking it? That's what the Bible says. Mr. David Scott used to preach around these parts many years ago. Lots in our audience tonight would remember him. I remember him. But on one occasion in the prairie, he was having some gospel meetings, and there's a young woman attending those meetings, and she was very troubled about her soul. She was in deep soul trouble. She wanted to be saved. And Mr. Scott tried to convey to her, to get across to her, the way of salvation. One day he came in to her house, into the kitchen. And she was there alone. It was very hot. Mr. Scott sat down in a chair beside the table and he said, I'm very thirsty. I would love a drink of water. She went to the cupboard. She got a glass. She filled it with water. She set it on the table beside him. He just sat there. After about 10 or 15 minutes, he said, you know, I'm so thirsty. I would love a drink of water. She went back to the cupboard. She got another glass. She filled it with water and set it down beside it, the other one. Mr. Scott paid no attention to it. After a little while, he said again, oh, I'm so thirsty. I would love a drink of water. She went back to the cupboard. She got the third glass. She filled it with water. She set it down beside him. He paid no attention. A little while later, he said, you know, I'm so thirsty. I would love a drink of water. The girl got excited. She said, Mr. Scott, there's three glasses of water that would quench your thirst. All you have to do is take it. And he smiled. And he says, isn't that strange, young lady? God has made provision for you in the death of his son to save your soul from hell. Christ died for our sins. That young woman brightened up. It registered. She saw the truth. God had provided salvation for her. As the remedy for his thirst was to take that water in order to have his thirst quenched. In order for her to be saved, she had to take Christ. Not her feelings, not her doings, but rest on the finished work of God's beloved Son. Man's salvation is due. If I could do something, and the gospel we preach, salvation's done. The work has been accomplished and paid for by precious blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins on dark Golgotha's tree. Your responsibility tonight, as Mr. Scott's was to quench his thirst, was to take that water. But you notice it says, whosoever will. You see, your will's involved. It's there for you. If you will, you can have it. If you don't want it, if it's not important enough, you can leave it. God has made provision for you. Christ has died. God is satisfied. He has shown that to us by raising him from amongst the dead. And Christ was died for our sin. And he was raised again for our justification. Tonight, friend, in the gospel, God offers you salvation. Would you be willing to take it? If someone offered you $1 million, there's a gift. Would you be willing to take it? Oh, you may have doubts about it. You may wonder, is it genuine? God is offering you eternal life. All the dollars in the world couldn't purchase it. It's free. Will you take it? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. We read those solemn scripture in Revelation 20. Friend, it makes us tremble tonight. If we thought, or if we knew, of one soul in this company, a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, and this would be their experience, to be cast into the lake of fire, if we knew who you were, our hearts would bleed for you. We would be solemnized in God's presence. Friend, if you're not saved, you could be that one. We do feel for you. We were not always saved. We were once in the darkness of sin. But there came a time in our lives when salvation was all important. Has that come in your life? Is it a must that you get saved? If it's not, as we've been reminded, you're not going to get saved. Those who meant business are those who got God's salvation. But whosoever was not found written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. My name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. I didn't write it. I didn't deserve my name to be there. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, the lake of fire is a real place. Not found written when those pages are turned. When the search is made, whosoever, if your name's not written, cast into the lake of fire. What an awakening. Eternal misery for eternal ages. Be an awful solemn thing to die in your sins without Christ as your Savior. Mr. Oswald McLeod and I had meetings in Akron, Ohio a number of years ago. Each night we went to preach the gospel, we went over a bridge. Very famous for suicide. I remember living in the city of Vancouver when the traffic was tied up there at the first Narrows Bridge. Someone up on the ropes, going to jump. The police trying to talk them down. Well, the bridge in Akron, Ohio, or Cahoga Falls, just outside Akron, was a famous place for suicide. Many a person stopped their car, got out, jumped over to their death. One night, Mr. Wright, that we were traveling with, stopped his car, and we walked onto the bridge. Cars coming, slowed down to see if we were going to jump. But we went to the center and we looked down. It was a long way down. But Mr. Wright told us an incident that took place. The last young man, at least one of the last young men that jumped, years of age, depressed, fed up with life, thought he would just get out of all his misery by jumping over the bridge. He stopped his car, got out, just went right over. He was on the way down. That young man lived. After about 6 months in the hospital, his body was wrangled, bodily bruised. The newspaper reporters were allowed in to have an interview with him. One of the first questions he was asked, after you jumped, what were your thoughts? He said, my thoughts? He said, when I saw that bridge getting further away, he says, oh, how I wish I was back in that bridge. But he wasn't. He was on the way down. He could never make that bridge again. I thought of a soul rejecting Christ as her Savior, landing in hell, in the lake of fire. Friend, do you think my imagination's too far-fetched to think of that soul wishing that they were back in a place where they could hear the gospel, where they could have the offer of salvation as you have tonight? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. The whosoever of salvation. The source of the gospel began in the heart of God. God so loved the world. The subject of the gospel tonight is His Son, that He gave His only begotten Son. There's no salvation in any other. There's no religion, workings, or ritual that man has can ever save a soul. Salvation is all centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you kindly tonight, have you trusted Him as your Savior? Have you believed in Him that He bare your sin in His own body upon the tree? Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Here's a promise from God. God never breaks His promises. God promises the believing sinner everlasting life. I'm a believing sinner. I believe that Christ died for my sin. What's God promised to me? Beg Him, you have everlasting life. How do I know I have it? I don't feel it. My friend, God says it. God says it. I believe it. And that settles it. The blood of Christ makes me safe. The Word of God makes me sure. The God that cannot lie promises the believing sinner everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Preacher one time, speaking to boys and girls, put a coin under his Bible. And he said to them, whosoever will can have that coin. They began to look at one another, laugh and titter. Finally, one little fellow came walking up, lifted the Bible, took the coin. The preacher says, just a minute. What's your name? He said, Cecil Smithers. He says, I didn't say Cecil Smithers could have that coin. Little fellow traveling said, but he says, preacher, you said whosoever, and that's me. For God so loved the world, does it take you in, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's me, believeth in Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then believe God. You'll have salvation. Just believe Him. And in the end, you'll find yourself beyond mercy in the lake of fire. Be wise tonight. It's for eternity. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and Father, humbly and reverently we bow to speak to Thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the simplicity of salvation. We thank Thee this is a day of good tidings. The gospel of Thy grace has won many stubborn hearts. We thank Thee has won our stubborn heart. We have come to know Him, whom to know is life eternal. But O God, we pray for those in this company here tonight who have never been born again. They know not the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in nature's darkness. They're in the broad road traveling to eternity and no Savior. We pray the Spirit might move within them, that they won't rest tonight until they know that they're saved and on the way to heaven. O God, we cry to Thee for a visitation and salvation for Thine own glory. Part us now with Thy blessing. Preserve souls, troubled souls tonight. Don't let them sleep until they know it's well with them for eternity. Receive our thanks for so great salvation and so wondrous a Savior. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.